We're live.
Good morning.
Good
Welcome
morning.
To Pathways Podcast, episode 91.
91. Even though it says 90 on the board, it is 91.
It's 91.
Welcome.
Welcome. How was your week?
It was good. Yeah. How about you? You are back.
That's great.
You were gone last week and
went to Colorado.
You're back.
Yep. Went to Colorado. Got to see family. Got to go to a wedding. Got to spend time with my three kids in a van. For multiple
all the way
hours.
There across Nebraska and Kansas.
Yeah, so we took a detour down to Kansas on the way out and then came straight home. But it
That's
was a
good.
Long time in a van.
It is a long time in a van.
But it was good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you play the license plate game?
We did.
Good.
Yeah, so we printed off these packets.
It's good.
For the kids to do things. They watched movies. My wife and I got to talk.
Keep them entertained.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it was good. Got to see the mountains.
Yeah.
And God's beauty, his creation out there. Although the haze from the fires made it a little tough to see the mountains in a distance. But no, it was good.
Did you do any hiking?
We did.
That's
and about,
good.
Let's see, 100 yards in, my four-year-old son says, I'm tired.
This is it.
Dad, carry
this is
me.
All I can do.
And I'm like, no, you're going to push through. So anyway, we went about.
It will only make you stronger.
Yeah, we only went about two-thirds of the way as the rest of the family, and then we turned around and came back.
Yeah, but probably took a little longer anyway.
Yeah. Kids were climbing on rocks. It was good.
Good.
Yeah.
It's great. Colorado's
football
beautiful.
Football season
so
has started for you guys?
It has started. Yeah. They had their scrimmage on Friday night. Yeah. So we've officially kicked off. And first game is this coming Friday night. So.
How'd the game go?
Well, it was just a scrimmage. So
How'd the scrimmage go?
Run a few plays. And then the other team runs a few plays. But it was good.
Good.
It was good. It's a good start to the season. So, yeah.
Good deal.
We're up and going. That's right. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I had to listen to the message from Sunday while I was driving.
Right.
So my wife took notes for me.
Uh-huh. So you have Trisha's notes today.
Would you call this gray?
I would call it grayish purple.
I know. I kind of see
it's kind of purple. You should have brought your purple water bottle today.
Nope. I brought my black and gray one. I knew you were going to say something about the color. That's why I tried to get it out
Your
of the way.
Your purple water bottle would have matched Trisha's notebook.
It would have. You know what? I think it's a
nice I will
color.
Say that you did forget your notes this morning, and you were like, I have to go over and get my wife's notes. And I was like, oh, we have Trisha's notes today.
I didn't take notes because I was driving.
To which you were driving. I guess you get a free pass because you were driving. So
I asked my lovely wife to take notes.
That's
but
good.
But if I totally screw it up, I mean...
We're not blaming Trisha. Trisha, you did a great job with your notes.
Yes.
Way to go.
So let's talk about scripture. 1 John 3:11-24, is that right?
11-24, that's it. Yeah, we're on week 5 of our sermon series in 1 John, and it's just been a great sermon series. So we've kind of been looking at the main theme for this week is a theme that circles around in the book of 1 John a lot. And so the theme was just that idea of love one another, and kind of that idea of sacrificial love, and how do you prove that this love is in you, but it's that idea of how do you sacrifice for others. And so it was a good message. So
let's talk about love for a second. Let's talk about, have you had transformation in your life where you've seen God work in your heart and give you the ability to love others more?
I would say yes.
Yeah. Do you have any examples or like just over time? I would say, even your love and desire to serve God by serving his people, just your transition from teaching into ministry, I think is just a testament of your love for others.
Yep. Yeah. I think that, I guess, as I think back, I think about some specific instances. And one I can think about from a while ago that I had a specific person who I encountered on a daily basis that was very difficult to love. And I just remember praying, like, God, it's only your love through me that is going to give me the patience that I need right now. And I felt like that sustained me and that God gave me scripture in that. But then also, as time goes on, just just those instances, I think, where my natural reaction is to be frustrated or angry or impatient with someone. And, you know, I think it's those instances that it's just like, okay, God, I need your love right now. And I need your perspective. And even just this morning, I said to Todd, I was like, I think we need a little different perspective in this, you know? And it's kind of taking that, is this going to matter in 100 years? And Todd said, it's not going to matter tomorrow. And I'm like, okay.
Wisdom.
So, yes. Yep. So I think that, you know, it's that not reacting in my flesh like I want to. Like, I want to be angry and I want to lash out and I want to say something that's probably hurtful and those types of things. But it's stopping and thinking about that and reflecting and be like, okay, God, I need your love to fill me because I can't
do it
love in that way right now. And so, yeah, so, but I think too that, you know, over time we grow in that also. And so we grow in the more that we shift our perspective to, you know, is this going to matter in 100 years? What's the eternal significance of this? How can I be filled with God's love and patience? And the more that we turn to Him and rely on Him in those moments, the more we do it. And so I think that that's how we grow in that consistent demonstration of love over time. And it's not just about like, oh, I'm just going to suck it up and really, really love this person and grit my teeth and bear it, you know, but it's like, no, my heart has to change in that. And my heart has to change. And I have to see this person the way God sees them and see their potential of what Christ can do in their life. And so I think that makes a difference.
And it does take time, right? Because when you live life a certain way and you think a certain way, right? Talking about those neural pathways that we've had forever, you know, we have to change our thinking. And it's like it has to be deliberate action. We have to deliberately be in the Word. We have to be deliberately praying those prayers of God, you know, let me see them as you see them. Let me love them as you love them. But it takes time and it takes effort because like you said, the flesh in us wants to be angry or we want to not love this person because of what they've said or done.
Right. Or I'm so hurt and offended, so you should pay for that or
But it's that you know, quote about bitterness. You know, bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting to see the other person die.
Yep.
But it's really only hurting you.
Right.
So, you know, I look at over time, even in my marriage, of how Trish and I have grown in our love for one another, and it really took God revealing to us that we were so self-centered and so self-focused that it was all about us. We had no empathy for one another, but God, you know, has worked on our hearts and given us this heart where we do have empathy for one another.
Right.
We try to see things from each other's perspective. Now, it might take some time to get there. It might take me a couple minutes of like working through in my mind, okay, you know, it's not about me. What is my wife feeling? You know, what is she processing? And I'm an internal processor, right?
Yep.
So it actually, I can process things in my mind and I take some time to focus, whereas external processors just kind of puke it all up. And, you know, we've come to know that about each other as well. She's an external processor and I'm an internal, so when she wants me to puke things up, she knows I need time to process. And when she pukes things up, I know, like, she's just saying what's on her mind. And, like, don't take offense to it.
Right.
And so, but, you know, God has definitely changed our heart for each other to love one another more deeply, more intimately, more like God loves us. And that goes for other people as well. But it can be hard. And it's like, I can tell when I'm not in the Word, when I'm not in fellowship with other believers, when I'm not take intentional time to pray for others, like I can feel myself like drifting towards the flesh again and not having love for others and being quick to be judgmental or to be angry. And I have to catch that, and I have to realize, okay, I'm not in the Word like I should be. I'm not praying like I should be. So it's self-reflection, right?
Right, yeah.
Which we talked about in our book, and We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. We'll get there. But we'll get there. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, there's nothing quite like marriage to bring out the, like, oh, here's all the ways that I am so selfish that I didn't realize about myself. And
yeah.
So, yeah, because you see the good and the bad and all of it. And you got to work through that together.
Steve brought that up at staff meeting. You want to know how I truly am?
Right.
Ask my wife.
Right. Yes. She there's knows. Nobody who knows better.
Right. And, I hope. And I know I can say for my wife, over time, the last 10 years, I've seen this tremendous growth in her. And I've seen this tremendous love for others and for God that I've just seen grow in her. I hope she can say the same about me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loving others. And, one of the quotes that my wife wrote down was...
Yes. What did Trisha say?
Your works don't save, but your deeds reveal what you truly believe.
Right.
And so it's this idea, like, my heart posture, like, I do something because my heart desires to do something, not because I have an idea that these works are going to save me.
Mm-hmm.
So my works and my deeds, the things that I do are driven out of my heart and not by an obligation to do it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So that, like in 1 John 3, verse 14, it says, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from life to death. But a person who has no love is still...
From death to life.
From death to life. Sorry. Thanks. He's correcting me. Thank you, Aaron. But a person who has no love is still dead. Hmm. So, but it's that idea that this is the proof of it. If we love others, this is the proof of the new life that is in us. And so... Yeah. That's the how have we grown in love for others and how do we sacrifice for others and what does that look like? So
if I don't love others, if I have no desire to be around others, I really need to start questioning what do I believe?
Right.
What am I doing?
Because the Holy Spirit will produce in us a love for others.
Yes.
And when we feel like, kind of like I said earlier, when we feel like I don't know if I can love this person the way God wants me to, the Holy Spirit will help us to do that. And will change our hearts in the midst of it. And I think that's one of the big things that happens through prayer too, which was one of the byproducts of a life of love and truth. One of those three byproducts that Steve mentioned was your prayer life changes. And I think that in your prayer life changing, your heart changes. Mm. And so our heart changes and we see people differently and are able to love in a way that we couldn't on our own. So,
and I will tell you just from that matters because people see it.
Mm-hmm.
People see the change. I've said before, your testimony has power.
Mm-hmm.
And when people see your heart change and how you love others and how you now have this newfound joy and just how your perspective on life changes, like that has an impact. But what also has an impact is if you claim to be a follower of Christ and you are no different than those that don't follow Christ. You have no love for others. You're engaged in gossip and tearing people down. Like, that has a negative impact on people.
Yep.
And so I think it's important, again, we have a testimony because God has changed our hearts. And out of that heart change, we change the way we see life and the way that we live life and the way that we love others.
Yep.
And that has power. So
yeah.
Let your light shine for all to see.
That's right.
Don't hide it under a basket.
That's right. Yeah. I think this is a good point too. Just that idea of, I mentioned the byproducts of a life of love and truth. And so one of them was the idea that your prayer life changes, but the other ones were that we gain boldness and confidence. So verse 19 says, our actions show we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. So we can come before God with confidence and with boldness because of how his truth has changed us, but our hearts have changed and we have responded. And so our actions have been aligned with his truth. And so we can come before him with confidence. And then the other one, so as our prayer life changes, we can come before him with confidence. And then also the presence of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, being in fellowship and in relationship with the Holy Spirit and knowing that it's his work in us that's changing and transforming us. And so those were the byproducts of a life of love and truth. And I thought that was a good thing to think about. And so, you know, you can think about those as questions too. Do I feel confident that I can come before God and that someday I'll stand before him? And, you know, what will that life look like? And it's not, you know, we all mess up in a moment. And so it's, you know, we mess up in a moment, but it's not getting stuck in that. Yeah. It's looking at a whole, you know, do we get back up? Do we, which we're going to talk about in our book a little bit, but do we get back up and do we keep moving forward? And, you know, how do we come before him in that way? And then that the presence of the Holy Spirit, how are we in fellowship with God and how are we allowing him to work in us so that his love overflows from us to others?
Yeah. So let's just touch on that a little bit more. You screw up. You do something that isn't good, that you know, that doesn't honor God, that might be sin. What do you do? Do you mm-hmm. run mm-hmm. and try to hide in shame? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm. Or double down and say, I'm not gonna, you know, like surrender or sacrifice, yep. whatever. Yeah. So could be in.
But then do you come, what's your prayer life look like? Do you, when that moment comes, do you go to the Lord in prayer or mm-hmm. even others in prayer, right? This is why fellowship's so important mm-hmm. and having other people in your life. You know, numerous times I have texted or asked people for prayer with something that I'm struggling with, something that I need help with, whatever it might be. But I have people in my life that I know that I can call on for prayer, and I do mm-hmm. call on for prayer. And like, I feel the effects of that. I feel mm-hmm. the effects of the prayer. And then do I listen to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, you need to repent. You need to turn from your ways. This is the path I want to take you on. And am I obedient to go where God calls me to go? Am I obedient to ask for forgiveness? Am I obedient to forgive others or reach out in prayer to mm-hmm. others? So it's like this trichotomy, the three things going on at the same time, mm-hmm. interwoven and interacting with each other. But
yeah,
that's
good.
All right,
yeah.
I'm gonna grab my book.
Yeah.
Chapter what?
We're on chapter 2. So we're done with theology. So we made it through Grudem's whole book of theology, and we have been reading the book Tempered Resilience by Todd Bolsinger. As a staff. And so we've also, if you can get these books at Choices or online, but we're going to be going through it on the podcast. So our last week we went over chapter 1 on the podcast. And so today we're going to be looking at chapter 2. But the full title is Tempered Resilience, How Leaders Are Formed in the Crucible of Change. And so, you know, it's a good book on resilience. And when we find ourselves in those situations. We had the Global Leadership Summit mm-hmm. at the beginning of August, and Craig Groeschel gave his talk, and he was like, we need to increase our capacity for PUCK, which is pain, uncertainty, and chaos. And so when we find ourselves in those situations, mm-hmm. and you know, we've mentioned this on every podcast, but over the last 18 months, there's no way that anybody hasn't found themselves in yeah. that type of a situation or in a situation where something has changed in their life. And so how do we respond and
what's your
how
mindset?
Do we move through it with yeah. resilience? Yeah.
Do you see it as God shaping and forming you and making you stronger and maybe preparing you for what's to come? Mm-hmm. Or do you say, woe is me?
Right.
And give up, quit. Mm-hmm. And say I'm done, whatever it might be.
Yep.
But you can't be a leader without some sort of forging in the fire.
Right.
Right. It makes you stronger. It makes you a better leader. There will be failures along the way, but it's what you do with those failures and that tempering along the way.
Yep.
That makes you either a better leader or not a leader.
Right. Yep.
So yeah. Chapter 2 talks about the raw material of a tempered leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So chapter 2 is on resilience. And one thing that I thought was really interesting in this chapter is he opens with this story about Martin Luther King Jr. Mm. And he talks about how, and I want to read this quote here, but he talks about, I mean, we know about Martin Luther King Jr. and we know about the civil rights movement and all of those things, but sometimes I think it's important, and this is what he does in this book here, but to stop and think about the resistance that he experienced and then the resilience that he demonstrated in getting through all that he had to get through. But in that resistance that he experienced, I want to read a quote from what's his now famous letter from Birmingham jail that he quotes here. And so it's on page 33 if you have the book. But in this letter, Martin Luther King Jr. says, "I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, 'I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I cannot agree with you in your methods of direct action.'" And I just think that, I don't know for me that that has ever jumped out to me as, you know, you study about the civil rights movements and things, but as it has going through and reading this. And so to think about that idea that for Martin Luther King Jr., that really it was the place where he felt resistance the most came from the person who was just kind of going to go with the flow. Mm-hmm. And they weren't taking a stand for anything. And instead of fighting for justice, they just kind of let things happen and wanted to be peaceable. And you know, that's where he felt the resistance that he felt. And so for him, it was how do you be resilient through that? So of course he's facing all of these other challenges in the midst of it, but then also to think about, and I think that's just so applicable for today too, because I think that the narrative and ultimately a blind spot that we can get caught in is, go back to love. Well, to love, I just need to agree with what you're doing. And I just need to be peaceable. I just need to not make waves. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, as Christians, we're called to stand up for truth. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to know truth. What does God's word say about this? And we're called to stand on God's word. And we're called to you know, be in relationship and be in fellowship with him, but then to boldly take action in alignment with that truth. And so I think that that's a piece, you know, how do you get through hard and challenging times? How do you develop your resilience? And I think that we definitely see that in Dr. King. And, you know, I think that that's just, when you think about everything that he endured and all of that, it's like, you know what, I want to be a person who knows truth from the Bible, truth from God's word, and who is willing to take decisive action and stand on that truth. And so when you think about that and resilience, I think that it's just kind of a powerful thought. But
and you know, his mission didn't change throughout. He knew what his mission was. And he knew he wanted to do it through nonviolence and love.
Yep.
And, you know, he was such an influential person of that time. And, you know, on page 35, it talks about the capacity of a system, enterprise, or a person to maintain its core purpose and integrity in the face of dramatically changed circumstances. That's how they defined resilience. So circumstances and everything's changing around us, but yet our integrity, we don't waver on that, and we know what our purpose and mission is. And you know, we've talked about that as the church. We know what our core values are.
Yep.
We know what our mission at the church is, and that's not going to change, even though circumstances out there are changing, right? And so, again, over the last 18 months, it's been challenging to stay on point and stay focused on the mission of the church, but you know, the team did that.
Yeah.
And you know, they invited and welcomed and sought out people into an unconditional love of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And so
yeah
but there was a refining fire,
right? Yeah,
that went along with that.
Definitely.
And so would you say over the last 18 months your capacity to endure challenges that are going to come has increased?
I think it definitely has. I think it's also given a more streamlined focus, I might say. And so, you know, so it really, when something like that happens, it really makes the priorities the priorities, right? And so it really kind of just brings everything into focus. And I think that that's been a big thing too, because I know, and I've mentioned this before, but one of the things that I just felt God laid on my heart was that it was part of our responsibility to provide opportunities for people, if and when they're ready to come back, that they can come back and this can be a place where they can encounter Christ and that they're going to hear truth, they're going to hear God's word, whether it's through discipleship, coming on a Sunday morning, because we were in that, you know, time of, you know, do we social distance, do like all of these things, but how do we provide opportunity for people to hear the gospel, for lives to continue to be changed and transformed? And, you know, I know Jen's here too, like everything with the tech team and the worship team and going online, and how do we how do we more efficiently get this message out to people? And so I think that that's just so important. So another piece too, actually Steve had mentioned this in the message on Sunday, but kind of with where we're at today, you know, he talked about everything that's going on in Afghanistan and how if you're a believer in Afghanistan right now and you have a Bible app on your phone, like the Taliban will kill you. And so I think when we think about that, and you know, there are Christians in the world right now today who could be persecuted because they have a Bible app on their phone. And here we are in America, pretty comfortable. You know, do we go to church on Sunday? Do we tell others about Christ? Are we in the Word? Are we doing these things? And, you know, I just think that as you think about how do you help the priorities become the priorities, and how do you help narrow down, you know, thinking about these things and the trials that others endure, whether it was Martin Luther King Jr. or Christians in Afghanistan or, you know, what we've been over the last 18 months, it's just so important. So
I think we are going to see the church in Afghanistan just do miraculous things.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the face of persecution, in the face of death, the Holy Spirit moves with power.
Yep.
And, you know, we've talked about that before on the podcast, is like when persecution decreases, when it's safe to be a Christian, like the power of the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit just kind of dwindles. But, man, when reliance on God increases because your life is in danger, it's at risk, the Holy Spirit just shows up.
And, for sure.
You know, you hear about that on mission trips too, about people who have these just amazing experiences on mission trips and feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and get to witness miracles that they just don't get to see in the American church.
Yep.
You know, sometimes I wonder, what's going on? What's going on around our country today that the Holy Spirit is just kind of letting us do what we want to do? And so, not to say that he's still not moving and doing things. And perhaps it's the fact that we don't acknowledge a lot of the things that he does do. And a lot of the miracles that he does perform, because we want to attribute it to science, or we want to attribute it to medication or whatever it might be, instead of, you know, attributing it to God who provides those things. So.
Yep. That's good.
No, it's good stuff.
That's good.
Anything else from
Resilience so
chapter?
One other thing I wanted to point out was, I have a nice little diagram right here. If you're watching Facebook Live and can see it, but. So he talks about what does it mean to be a resilient, grounded leader. And I think that this is just kind of a good visual that he gives, because we talk about, you know, we want to be grounded. We want to be grounded in God's word. But what does that mean? And so he gives four to five different things. So he talks about being teachable, being attuned, being adaptable, being tenacious, and this leads to being resilient. And so as we think about that, we have to be grounded in truth, grounded in God's word, but then those are other maybe heart postures that we can take, being teachable, being attuned to God, but to people around us, mm-hmm. being adaptable, willing to adjust, being tenacious, and it leads to resilience. And so I just think, too, that's a good thing to point out in yeah. the midst of all of that. So, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's good. Anything else? Know your identity. That's one thing that I had there for being grounded. So, know
so I
who
did
you are in Christ.
Yeah, and I highlighted that on 41. For Christian leaders who are responsible to bring change mm-hmm. and who face resistance and even rejection, a vital life-giving reality is knowing that whether we succeed or fail, our identity as those who are known and loved by God is secure.
Yep.
And so it's this idea that as a follower of Christ, can I really fail? We
right.
talked about that yesterday.
We did talk can about really that fail? At the staff meeting yesterday.
even what's determined as failure by worldly standards can be used by God as growth, as tempering, as mm-hmm. forging in the fire of leadership. And it could be moving you on to something bigger and better and greater and more impactful for God's kingdom. But there was a lesson or something to be learned in that process.
Right.
Even though the world sees it as failure, God will use it for good.
Right.
And we can know that even if we fail by world standards, we're still loved by God.
Yep, which goes back to the idea of taking the long-term perspective, mm-hmm. right? So the example that we actually talked about yesterday during the staff meeting was the idea of Peter. So Peter denies Christ. Was yep. it a failure? Well, in the moment, it probably felt like it to him.
Right.
I mean, he was just right. repentant, but just felt awful and wept. And so we know that in the moment, Peter was... It felt like a failure.
Yeah.
So in that moment, but then when you take a long-term perspective, was it a failure?
No.
Because it sure made him resilient
right.
later. He wasn't going to deny Christ
later. I guarantee
later.
You he remembered that moment.
Right.
When he was standing in front of the Sanhedrin, you know, facing a beating, facing death. He's like, I'm not going to quit preaching the gospel.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, so.
He wouldn't deny Christ.
Made him stronger.
Definitely.
So,
yeah.
Very good.
Well, that's good.
Right, well.
So once again, you can get the book online or at Choices Bookstore, Uptown on the Square, Tempered Resilience.
I linked it in the comments.
Jen has linked it in the comments. Very good. Very good.
She's so techie.
She is. That's great. Yay.
Hey, so, you had a ministry fair last Sunday.
We did have
How
a
did
ministry fair on Sunday. It was great. So we
yes.
had, well, we have our discipleship ministry guides out and available. So
Where do
people
they get them?
Can pick those up. You can actually get them online. So you can go online. We have the whole book
so
linked
techie.
There. So you can scroll through the book online. But we also, if you like a paper copy like I do, we also have those available. You can stop in the office sometime during the week, or we will have them available in the Narthex, which is just that entryway, mm-hmm. On a Sunday morning as well. So you can pick up a paper copy as well. So it's got everything in it for that's launching this fall. We have stuff from nursery, for kids, for youth, for adults, the whole spectrum. So I feel like there's something for everybody in there, but you might be like, oh, I can't find anything. You should come talk to me if that's what you think. So so we did have a ministry fair. We had all our ministry leaders available that were able to be here on
some
Sunday.
Some of us weren't here.
Some of us weren't here, but there were some wonderful
yeah.
people who stepped
that's
in
right.
if you weren't able to be here. So
Thanks,
it
Kirk.
Was it was covered. So yeah, so we had ministry leaders available and people were able to come over and just ask questions and get information and sign up for things if they wanted. And so it was just a great time to connect with people and
yeah.
that was good. So yes,
Very
so
good.
Lots of things launching this fall. I'm not going to go through the whole list.
No excuse for not
You can pick
doing
up the book,
something.
Read through it, find all the information online. There's all kinds of things coming up this fall.
Awesome.
So, yes.
We're so
yep.
thankful to have a place that has so much going on.
There is a lot going on. We have a lot of people who've stepped up and are
And thank you to the
willing
leaders.
And ready to lead and
yeah,
they're
thank
amazing.
You to the,
yeah,
to
it
the
takes a lot of people to make it all happen. So
it couldn't happen without them.
Yep.
So
yeah.
we appreciate you guys and responding to the calling
Definitely.
That God has laid on your heart. That
yep.
Holy Spirit prompting to lead something. So
That's right.
Or
yes.
Or the Holy Spirit prompting Marcy to be like, hey,
how do you feel about
you? Interested in leading systematic theology.
Hey, would you be interested in that, Aaron? You should take systematic theology this fall.
There's so much going on.
It's going to be a very great class.
And my wife's like, I think you should do it. My wife, at the service we went to in Colorado this week, we went to my sister's church, and she was like, I feel like after listening to the discussion up there on the stage, that just affirmed you doing systematic theology. It was about the intellectual.
Perfect!
And I'm like, well, I'm glad he gave that to you.
He spoke through her,
which he often does.
That's right.
It's good. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe we can't answer this question now, but I'm going to throw it out there. So there's an original version of Wayne Grudem's book. And
right.
then there's also a second, like a revised version.
There is.
And yep. have we decided yet on what we're going
to
do?
Well, you are the one leading the class, but I would say I always like to go with the revised version.
Yes, I like
the most updated one. However, I know that some people have already gotten books or, you know, we do have some used books available in the office as well. And so I
can't believe there's going to be that much change.
I know. I think that if somebody was like, oh, I already have this book, I think it would be okay to use the not updated version.
I don't think the updated version.
I would say go with the revised version. That's what I would say.
The whole thing I wrote in chapter 27 of the book,
I totally disagree with that.
I don't think it's going to be. I just think it would probably be added scripture, added points of relevance
There's a few points, and I can't think of a specific example off the top of my head, but I know as I've gone through. So if you read the book, but then he has podcasts that go with each one. So he teaches, or he taught a class at his church that went along chapter by chapter of the book. And so sometimes there's one podcast on a chapter, but sometimes there's six podcasts on a chapter. And so when you go through and you listen to some of those, in some of those podcasts and the class teaching that he's doing at his church, which is what the podcast is, he'll say, oh, my thinking on this has kind of evolved since I wrote this. And he'll kind of give a little different spin. So I'm guessing that part of that revised version is how his
mind has shifted a little bit.
Yes, how his thinking has shifted in that. And then he's probably just gone back and updated his book in that. So
that's
my guess. But yeah.
Awesome.
So that's good.
Online booklets.
That's
get
right.
involved.
Find your book online. Yes. You know what? I am just going to run through this quick. So I'm going to run through the table of contents and just tell you if something's coming up now, if you can plug in now, or if it's kind of a later thing. So that will at least give people. Okay. So that will at least give people an idea of, this is something I can go find now, or this is something I want to think about for spring.
You
go for it.
Here or here?
Nope, start up at the top. Yep.
Welcome and about us.
You can plug in right now. Our connections team would love to connect with you.
How?
So would we, though. Call the office.
So
everybody wants to connect with you. Sorry.
You get a connection. You get a connection. All right.
We'll give you a mug.
Still waiting on mine.
You are still waiting on yours.
Mentoring ministry.
You can plug into that anytime. Contact me.
Spiritual gifts assessment.
You can also do that anytime. Contact me.
Spa groups.
You can plug in anytime. Contact me.
You can register online
for spa groups.
Can you please put Marcy's contact info in the comments down
below?
Maybe
we should do that.
She's so techie. All right. Okay. Prayer ministry.
You can plug in anytime. Contact you.
Or my wife.
Or your wife. That's right.
Trisha at the way 146.
That's right. But you can plug in to join the prayer team, but also to be prayed for. And so you can get prayer on Sunday mornings. You can get prayer. Actually, this coming Sunday, we're doing the back to school prayer event. So inviting kids and families to come and receive prayer. But you can also set up a prayer appointment. So you can stop in during the week and
Absolutely.
The prayer team will have some team members there available to pray for you.
And if you have a prayer concern, you can email us and we put out to the prayer chain.
Yes.
If you want to be on the prayer chain, you don't want to be on the prayer team, because you don't want to be praying on Sundays or whatever it might be, but you want to pray for people in your home, please let us know. We'll add you to the prayer chain email. Once we get prayer requests in, we send those out so people can be in prayer mode.
Yep.
All right. Discipleship Ministries,
All right.
Alpha.
That is starting this fall.
At the Way.
Sign up for Alpha at the Way.
There you go. Great class.
It is.
Alpha offsite training.
That is going to be after the Alpha class, so it'll probably be in the winter.
Copy.
So that's later.
Equipping for Evangelism.
That is going to be this winter or spring also.
I've never heard of that.
I know. It's going to be great.
Who's leading?
Jeff and Danelle Holshue are leading that.
Ooh,
yeah, it's going to be good. Share your
I can't
faith.
Think of anyone
Equip
that,
yourself
that
with your testimony.
Can talk to anybody
it's
more
very
so
true.
Than Jeff.
Yep.
So we're excited to see him lead that class. Good. Freedom class.
That is the spring.
Spring. Women's ministries.
You can plug in now. Definitely. God of Covenant. Yep. Is there a Bible study that's coming up this fall? And so you can sign up for that online right now.
Who leads God? Who wrote that?
Jen Wilkin.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's a daytime group and an evening group for women's ministry. So you can come at 9:30 in the morning on Thursdays, or you can come in the evenings at 6.
Men's
Whatever
ministry.
Works for you. Every Thursday. So men's ministry's kickoff event is this Saturday from 8 to 11.
You
want to
do that now, or you want to wait until your announcements?
We can wait until announcements. But they have a kickoff event with two really great speakers. You should come.
Double plug.
And then they're going to start every Thursday nights again.
Two great speakers.
So, yep.
Yes.
And a great tech team. That's right.
And a great worship team. The one man band.
And an amazing worship team.
One man band worship team.
You should come and check out worship. We love you, Cody.
You may not know this, but there's nothing cooler than a bunch of guys getting together and doing worship together and just hearing the deep, booming voices of praising Jesus.
That's right.
It's good.
Come on Saturday.
Cody Doherty's leading the worship. Going to be good.
Men's event. It's going to be wonderful.
All right.
That's right.
It's going to be great. Discipleship systematic theology
this fall.
Yeah,
I led just by yours truly. It's gonna be great.
I just got an
updated
email
version
that someone signed up for it.
Good. That's great.
So we got a few.
You
people
actually have a few people signed up, so it's gonna be a good class. Tuesday nights.
For an hour and a half. All right, Christian ethics.
Next spring, so that's a later thing.
Okay, the journey.
The journey, a way of life, and walking with others are all starting this fall.
Okay.
So the journey is the first one in the Vantage Point 3 process, and then a way of life, and then walking with others. So they kind of build on each other. Start with the journey. That's right.
Gotcha.
Coming this fall.
And you know, a lot of these ministries, actually, because of our techie Jen, she created these nice little flyers out on the kiosk.
Yes.
Right there, the mobile kiosk.
Yep.
And so you can take a look at those and be reminded to sign up for the classes.
That's right. That's good.
specialized discipleship groups.
Uh huh.
Go through these.
Yeah, quick.
Divorce
we'll
care.
Do it fast. That starts this fall. Dave Wagner is leading divorce care on Mondays.
Financial peace.
That starts in January, so that's a little bit later.
Gathering table.
Gathering table is. It's good. We're going to have a few gathering table events throughout the ministry year. Lisa Wagner is the leader for that, and you can sign up to be a host home, and so you can sign up to have people come into your home, just have a meal, share together in fellowship in that way, and it's a great way to get to know people that you might not necessarily just have a conversation with on a Sunday morning.
You know what one of my dreams is?
What's one of your dreams?
One of my dreams is to have a piece of property where we can just build a big just open space and just gather people in.
I think that's a great idea.
Don't do that one, Marcy.
And but I mean just like the size of the worship center, and then you can have tables, a kitchen, and then you can have games for the kids to play, and just people can have fellowship.
That's great.
Anyway, do you have that dream?
I think that would be a great, with a pond so the kids can go fishing, and that might be Todd's dream.
She's got the property. You've already got the property picked out. She's working on
it. It's good.
Stay tuned. A couple years if you ask Marcy, 10 to 20 if you ask Todd. All right. Grief share.
The grief share is happening this fall. So Barb Wiskerhoff and her team on Monday nights.
Great ministry for people that have lost a loved one.
Yep.
Ladies sewing group.
Thursday morning starting this fall.
That is a dying art. Sewing is a dying art.
It is. And I don't sew.
We know.
I know. We've talked about this on other podcasts.
I don't think.
You don't sew either.
I can if I need to. I just don't do it regularly.
If I try to sew a button on, it falls off. It's really bad.
So you just.
I know. You just buy something.
Bring
new.
It to me. I'll do it for
Terrible.
You. Made to Crave.
Made to Crave is happening in October. And they are actually. So Kelly Van Manen is the leader for that. They're going to meet in Baxter at the Baxter Church of the Way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Spreading out.
That's right.
Many Hands for Haiti mission.
That is going to be next summer. So we have a group that's going to Haiti next summer, and we've got dates on the calendar already.
So you you signed up, my wife signed up to yep. go this year.
Yes.
And luckily we put off because you guys would have been over there when the president got assassinated.
We would have been.
And
yes.
It would have been just a mess.
We would have been. It would have been hard to get out. So
you guys didn't go?
We didn't.
And hopefully next year you'll get there.
Trip got delayed until next summer, so we're planning on going next summer.
That just means more people can join.
That's right. You can still join. So right. the dates are there and in the book.
All right. Marriage class.
Marriage class starts this fall. Yes. Tim and Carrie Heeman are leading that, and it is on Monday nights as well.
Very good. Membership class.
That will be sometime this fall. Late fall.
Operation Finding Freedom.
Every first Friday of the month.
Yep. Yep.
Continual.
Veterans.
Yep.
Invite them.
That's right.
Parenting class.
Parenting will be in the winter, so that one's kind of down the road.
Safe families.
Yep, that's kind of ongoing. So you can contact Colin and Danielle Barnes.
Spirit-led work ministry.
Julie Jones is starting that this fall. And so they are going to be meeting on Monday nights as well and talking about that connection between faith and work. And so how we're called to our workplaces as and seeing our workplaces as a place of ministry.
Gotcha.
So
the bridge.
Connection. And the bridge, our ministry for 18 to 25-ish. Meets every other Sunday afternoon right here at the Way.
You'd probably be too old to join that.
I'm probably too old to join that.
I'm definitely too old.
Yep. Very true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you have gray in your beard or hair, you're not allowed to.
too old.
we've got more.
We do.
Spiritual formation retreats.
Oh, yes. So we have a lot of different retreats that we do. Like we do the Alpha retreat and we do the in the fall, and we're gonna do the Freedom class retreat in the spring. And those are things that are class specific, but they also can be open to anybody else. Mm-hmm. So at the Alpha retreat, we really talk about the Holy Spirit. We focus on who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And so you don't necessarily have to have taken the other classes of Alpha in order to go to that retreat and benefit from it. Okay. So we put a page in this year for spiritual formation retreats so people can get those on their calendar, start to think about that in a different way, and they're welcome to join us. If you're not able to go to the class, you can still join for the retreat. And if you're going to the class, we'd love for you to go to the retreat.
There you go. Nursery.
Yep. Nursery is available every Sunday, 9 and 11 o'clock services.
Thank you, volunteers, for that.
Yes. And we need more volunteers.
They need more volunteers
for nursery. Yes, that's right.
Maybe you have a gift of
sign up.
Working with children.
That's right.
Babies. Babies are cute. They're
babies
cuddly.
Are very cute.
You can, like, I walk
They're
by there
cute.
And I see them snuggling with the babies.
Yep. It's a I great mean, place to be on a Sunday morning.
I don't think they cry very much.
Not very much. Sometimes. But their parents are just a text message
right.
away, right? So
That's right.
it's good.
But we appreciate you guys.
We do.
Children's Ministry Family Experience Events.
Yep. Children's Ministry happens every Sunday morning during the 9 o'clock service.
When
for
does
ages
it start again?
3 through 6th grade, starting on our launch Sunday of September 12th. So that's when it will start. Aaron is setting his calendar already.
2 weeks.
And
they need volunteers too.
We do need volunteers. So if you would like to help with children's ministry, we would love to hear from you. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we have family experience events throughout the ministry year as well.
Those were
one
fun.
About every quarter. And so just kind of going along, we're going to do Thanksgiving this year, a winter one, an Easter one again, and probably one to go along with summer camp too. So have
Graves
some
into
events.
Gardens.
That's right. Have some events spread out through the ministry year and that'll be good.
Youth group.
Youth group happens every Wednesday night, middle school and high school youth groups, and we feed them. We love
Sunday
food, fun, games. Sunday night in Baxter. Baxter Church of the Way is starting their youth group on Sunday nights.
Sweet.
So our Baxter youth can check that out on Sunday nights.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Serving opportunities.
Yes.
ARC.
So there's all kinds of ways
Community
to plug
meals.
In to serve also.
Decorating team.
ARC. Community meals.
Team.
Decorating team. Food team. So those are all different events that are happening throughout the ministry year that you can get plugged in with.
Sunday morning serving opportunities.
And then
opportunities.
We have Sunday morning serving opportunities.
Children's
so
ministry
all
team.
All kinds of ways to
Nursery.
Serve on a Sunday morning.
Prayer team.
Oh, she's like, yeah, we're done.
Tech AV team. Welcome
Aaron's
connections
the list.
Team. And worship team.
Yes, that's
and
it.
And it's all right here.
And you can find all kinds of more information in the book. But there
or
is
online.
A brief overview. So, few things coming up this week that I want to make sure that we highlight.
Yes.
Is this coming Saturday is the Kingdom Builders Men's Ministry kickoff. So, We mentioned it earlier, but 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Food.
Two great speakers are going to be there. An awesome tech team. Maybe. Wonderful worship. It's going to be an amazing morning. So
food.
If you're a guy, games. Come on out. Bring your son, too.
Dangerous Manly Games.
Dangerous Manly Games.
They had a tire throwing.
They did have tire throwing. I heard about it.
It was hard. It was really hard to throw a tire, to find the proper form. Anyway.
So, if you want to throw tires and
nail driving contest. When was the last time you drove a nail?
Probably never.
Well.
So.
Be doing that. A bunch of men are going to be doing that on Saturday.
That'll be good. So, yeah, it's going to be a great morning.
Yep.
8 a.m. Be there. That's right. And then Sunday is the back to school prayer event. So, we'd like to invite all kids, families, teachers, staff, anybody within the school district, come on over. We're going to have some prayer team people available in the Discipleship Center to pray with you and your family.
And that's between services?
It is between services, okay. Yes. We realize that school has started this week, but we had the ministry fair last Sunday, so we're doing our back-to-school prayer event this coming Sunday, and that'll be good.
So if you don't go to church here, but you want to still come and get prayer because you're sending your kids or you work in the schools, please come.
Absolutely.
About 10, 15 to 10, 20 probably.
Yeah, yes. That would be good timing.
To come over here to the Discipleship Center.
10, 15. Yeah. Okay. That'll be good.
Very good.
And then the other thing I want to mention that we haven't mentioned yet is Fall Fest. So Fall Fest is on Saturday, September 11 from 3:30 to 6:30. We have all kinds of fun things going on. The bounce houses for kids, food, root beer floats, cotton candy, popcorn. It's going to be amazing. So if you can help with that, we would love for you to go and sign up online. You can donate items. You can serve in different ways. Also, though, we would love for you to invite people who you know. So invite your friends, invite people within the community. It's a great way for people to plug in, just a great community event. So that is on Saturday, September 11. So next week, too, we have community meals going out into the community. And so do you want to talk about that a little bit, too?
Yeah, absolutely. So Tuesday through Thursday, we've got three different locations in Newton. On Tuesday, we're going to be at the Newton Christian School. On Wednesday, we're going to be at Woodland Park. And on Thursday, we're going to be at Denison Knowles Park, just south of the Super 8 Motel there on southwest side of Newton. But the idea is to get into different parts
of
Newton.
Actually, it's east of the Super 8 Motel.
It's south.
It's east.
It's southeast.
Anyway. It's east. Sorry.
I'm gonna prove.
I had to jump in there because you always.
You do live over there, so
but I do.
But it's the same road that the it's east of there and then south.
You go drive by. It's all right.
I've got a map. Well, anyway.
Anyway, we're gonna be there.
Over in the vicinity of the Super 8 is where we'll be setting up shop at the park right there. But the idea is we're going to go be a light and just serve free food to people in those different areas. If you know someone that lives in that area, invite them. Welcome them in. We're going to be there from 5 to 6:30 and just set up shop. And then any of the food that we don't serve on those particular days, we're just going to take it into some apartment complexes and give it away.
And you'll be north in Baxter.
Yes.
Yes.
North
and
Baxter
Friday.
On Friday. That's
and
right.
And on Friday.
North.
Yes. That's right.
And they're going to be setting up shop at the, where's that at?
The bike trail shelter house.
They're in Baxter. So if you live in Baxter or in the rural area and you want to come get a free meal on Friday, you are more than welcome to do that. And that's next Friday, just so you know. So
that's good.
Anything else?
Yeah. No, that's it. We covered a lot.
Sounds good.
It's good.
Still under an hour, just so you know.
Still under an hour.
Well, look at that.
We covered
efficient.
A lot. That's right.
Efficient. I do have to say, you didn't take one drink of your tea
the entire time.
However,
it's probably just
on the way
right
over
temperature.
To the building, I think I tore my ACL. Because you dripped tea.
Might have spilled.
All over the floor.
Little.
And it was a little slippery.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. Got a little overzealous with your water.
Just a little.
Water.
I did dump a little bit out then. Yep. So.
We're sorry, Jamie.
I'll clean it up. It's good.
That's right. My pants already cleaned it up because I fell on it.
You did not. You did not. It's not even true.
Hey, we love you guys. We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you need prayer for anything, if you have a need for something, please get a hold of us at the church. But go out, be a light, love others.
Have a great week.